Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so many wonderful things to say to us, His people. He has great things going on. You know, when we enter the kingdom, when we're in the kingdom of God, but when Christ come back, when Jesus come back and take us, His bride with Him, to meet Him in the air, and we'll forever be with the Lord. To the church, that's kind of like a finish line. But that day will be a day of great joy and also a day of great sorrow because of those that would not go with us. And they will be our loved ones, even our children sometimes, or our parents. And those that we believe that went on to be with the Lord, if they really didn't go on to be with the Lord, we will know it. Because we will look for them and they will not be there. And it will be sad for us. Nevertheless, these are realities that we have to deal with. And I look forward to the rapture and all of its wonder and glory. And I look forward to the relief of being in the presence of God. But guess what? I'm in the presence of God right now. And I know that if I do whatever God say, the chances of more of my loved ones going to heaven with me is higher. And when you talk to people, they got opinions. They got ways that they think. They got the way that they process things is so varied. And people can be so contrary when they don't know. But what can we do for them? We can live the light. One thing about living the life of God, no matter who says what, no matter what opinion they have, the light that you live speaks volumes when they won't listen to your mouth. And I like that because at the end of the day, when things are not working, it's known. And when things are working, it's also known. And when Daniel was called for to interpret the writing on the wall, the king's mother said, she said that he will solve doubts. Solve doubts. No matter what people, whatever, grandiose opinions people come up with, if they're not in the light, it will be known that they're not in the light. Especially when the light arrives. So the light of Jesus Christ arrives in us as we yield to Him. So it's very important for us as people to not only live the life of God on purpose, but look to Jesus as we live the life of God. Looking to Jesus, it changes everything. People look to their education. They look at what they do in the name of the Lord. They look at what people are. They look at how people interpret the things of God. They look at interpretations of God. They look at their predecessors, the preachers that taught them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of looking unto the Lord. But see, all those things are good in their place. But there has to be a transfer where you look to the Lord. And that doesn't discredit anything you learn from your predecessors. And I want people to understand this. The Lord is making me aware of something very huge. And He's helping me see things in a more refined way. And it's important. And it's vital to that day when we're in His presence. And we want to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And we know Jesus can't lie. Now, we may have put all of our efforts together and did all that we knew to do, but it just might not be enough. The only way, I've tried it all kind of ways. I remember when I couldn't wait to get to church to hear the pastor, which is, I still do. I like it. I love listening to my pastor now, but back then in the 80s, I had a good pastor then as well. And when I had a concern, I didn't, you know, before I started dialoguing with the Lord and talking to him, I would ask him my questions, but in those days, he answered me more so as Elder Lewis was preaching. Now, I didn't tell Elder Lewis my concerns, but I would ask the Lord to answer, to give me an answer. And the Lord worked with me on that, and he helped me. He still does. When men are preaching under the anointing, they're yielded. They're in a yielded state, and the Lord can give you an answer. He says, Jesus says, seek and you'll find. And that's important to do. So I seek in order to find. And I ask questions. Nowadays, I do it differently. I ask my questions, and the Lord will use whoever he will. Now, I would ask my questions in those days, and I was counting on the pastor to answer them. And sometimes the Lord would use them, and sometimes I just had to wait a while. But the Lord worked with me, and he brought me to a point where I knew to just listen and yield to him until he answered me the way, however he wanted to. Now, the Lord do things in wisdom. He works with us, but he expects us to grow. And ultimately, he wants us to look at him and come to a point where we can dialogue with him. Now, I cover how it happened. You know, a lot of people, they don't talk to the Lord like that. And they know that you do, and it makes them, you know, sometimes they want to. But I tell everybody, you can talk to the Lord, and the Lord will talk to you, and he loves you just like he loves Jesus. And we all know he loves Jesus. He loves you just like he loves Paul and Peter and your pastor and the greatest pastors we know of. You, if you're washed in his blood, even if you're not washed in his blood, he died so that you could know him. You're not supposed to be antisocial with God. And there's no reason for you not to hear your father's voice. That doesn't make sense. After he came and died for you and suffered for you so you could be healed, so you could be saved, so you could be just like Jesus, and then don't talk to you. That doesn't make sense. Because he loves you. He wants to talk to you too. You got things that you want to ask, and he got things he want to say to you. It doesn't make sense for believers to be in an antisocial relationship with Jesus, especially pastors. And Jesus tell them to do something, they wrestle. Why wrestle with wisdom? Do it. That's the theme of what God told me. Men have gotten, and I'm not talking about stupid pastors. I'm not talking about foolish people. I'm talking about wise men of God. When the Lord sent me out to do what I did to pastors, I went to those that I felt would follow him. I went to spirit-filled churches. And I didn't go to as many denominational churches, because in those days, they didn't believe in those things. And it would, you know, I felt like it wouldn't have been, it would have been a waste of time. Maybe it wouldn't have, but the Lord, he guided me where to go. He told me where to go and what message to give. So even though I purposed to go to Pentecostal churches more than any other church, the Lord always sent me to people that were word churches, people that were progressive, people that loved the word, and they still missed out on God's best. And I'm not happy about it, because I'm the one who saw the vision, and the Lord would tell me what would happen if they follow him. If they see, following God is looking at him and doing what he say continually without ever stopping. And he'll prepare you for what's next. He got you to this point. He's going to take the best strength you have. hear me out. He's going to take the best strength you have, the knowledge, the wisdom, the growth that you've grown in him, and he's going to lead you to people that will hear it. And in doing so, it may not look like you're going forward, because the people that hear don't always go to the mega churches. He may guide you to a town where it's a small church, but they're hungry. You can get more done with 5 or 10 people that's hungry than 2,000 people that's not. I counted money in the churches, and most of the time, only about a third of the people paid tithes. So numbers don't. I'm talking about adults. It takes about a month. If you count money for a month, you'll begin to see the ones that pay tithe and the ones that don't. And people come to the Lord in different stages. I understand that. And sometimes people are bankrupt, and they, you know, I don't believe in pressuring people to do something. Tithing needs to. I'm just using that for an example. But tithing needs to be from their heart. It should be worship, and not. I don't believe in coercing people to worship, because if they're doing it because I said it, then God won't receive it. God wants it to be from their heart. We tithe after the order of Melchizedek, not the law. But God, the blessings remain, and then the blessings won't come if they don't. And that's why we want people to tithe and encourage people to. But it's still got to be from their heart. In other words, you got to be, I use that for an example. You got to have people that's hungry. And the Lord will lead you to where the hot spots are. Now, the Lord, after he give, before he give you anything to do, he is well evaluated. All you got to do is obey him. But some people argue, they think, and if they take another path, the good will of God or the acceptable will of God, they think they did something, and they just short-circuited the whole thing that God wants to do in their life. And the longer they stay off track, see, if God tell you to reveal the perfect will and you don't do it, you're off track. And a lot of things are not going to happen, and it's not going to go the way it should go. But if God make a choice, and then you make a choice, and you pull to your choice, now eventually God's going to let you have your way. But there's consequences. And sometimes the consequences are not obvious. You don't get, you detour, and now you're going down a path that won't grow. In other words, you're planting in a garden close to too many trees. And I live in Forestdale, where if I want to do a garden, I got to separate my garden dirt from the ground dirt, because the trees will suck up the nutrients and my garden won't grow. I tried it before. And a man that's a farmer told me what to do. So I have to get, if I want to plant tomatoes, I got to get 5 gallon buckets to plant my tomatoes in. I have to have what you call a bucket garden or a raised bed garden, and disconnect the dirt in the garden from the dirt in the yard. And so I have plans to do that, and I got to do it this month. I want to have it done before April. Nevertheless, God will show you where the hot spots are, or you can go and plant where the ground's not fertile, and that's what you're going to have. You may have a larger crowd, but it's not going to be. It won't be, it'll almost be worthless compared to the one that would follow God. Now, I just use that for an example. I'm not saying that all great churches, big churches, or huge congregations are not hungry. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just using it for an example. You can't gravitate to what looks good all the time, like Lot did. He gravitated to Sodom and Gomorrah, and you see what happened to him. But Abraham went what he gave Lot first pick. You go one way, I go another. Don't matter to me. He's blessed. He was going to be blessed wherever he went. But when God makes a selection, that's where you're going to be blessed, right? That's where you're going to learn the key things you're going to need to know. Now, this kind of obedience is like a visitation. You have to match time in order for it to work. I've seen a church where the Lord had set it up to prosper. The people were stoked. They wanted to do a move of God. The children, everybody. People started, receiving spiritual gifts. And they had been trained for it. And the pastor had trained them right. He did a good job. And then the Lord said, encourage them to use the spiritual gifts. And he said, no, if I do that, they'll get in the flesh. He doubted against them. And he believed this now. He doubted against them. I said, no, it's going to work. I said, but the Lord told me also, if you don't, he's going to send them away. I said, now is the time. Now, I'm not the pastor, but I had to deliver this message. I am an apostle. I had to tell him what God told me. It was not comfortable, but he blew it off. And just like the Lord said, it didn't take long. I'm talking about within a few weeks, I seen his people scatter. I visited a church and I saw several of his members had already joined, and one lady was joining. I said, man. And I knew, and when she was joined, she said, I would join this Sunday, but I want to go and leave my other church properly. And I knew where she was going to leave. So it happened. I had to witness this. God put me in positions to see things like this. I'm not saying these things lightly. When God sets something up and you do it your way, now it's not going to work right. So God had to go to another plan that excludes the man that wouldn't obey him. And God had given me great things that would happen if he followed him. And I had to know this. It was kind of like a blow to see stuff like this. I saw stuff like this more than I seen anything else. I said, we got a problem. I knew it was a problem. I said, something's not right. So many people are yielding to their own ways and missing out on God's best. And there's no way to prove it. Even in Ecclesiastes, how can you show a man the future or what's ahead of him? You know, you don't have anything to compare to. But I knew it because the Lord taught me. He trained. The Lord schooled me in these things. Now, when you look at Jesus, you won't miss it. You won't miss a visitation. See, if you prolong too long in disobedience, you miss your visitation. And now you're fired. You'll never be able to do, because you didn't match time. You waste too much training time, and God can't train you and prepare you for what he was going to do. And he had to do it another way. So it's a cost to God, so it's got to be a cost to you too. You're going to have a loss of rewards that you'll never recover. And even if you repent and start building from this point on, you'll gain rewards, but it'll never be like it would have been. And most pastors, most of them, always ignore the message God gave. And I'm not talking about flakes. I'm talking about good men of God. And then I watch them. It always costed them something. You know, they lose their church. They lose. There's a lot of losses. People lose. People that would have been greatly blessed are not. And they did magnificent things in my eyes. But God wanted to do so much more. God may have given them a more national ministry. I don't know. I don't know how it would have grown. Or people that went through the ministry, they may have put out more national ministries. You know, only Jesus can show you what would have happened. Now, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of what would have happened if one pastor followed God. And he did not. And it did not happen. And that was a huge loss to the body of Christ. The Lord gave me a vision. He said, if he obeyed me, he showed me how many people would go through his ministry and become pastors. And it would have taken, his congregation would have filled up the civic center. But they weren't going to remain in his congregation. They'll go through it. That was how God was going to do it. He was going to train people up, and they were going to go out and start other ministries. But he refused. And God refused. He had to find somebody else to put that anointing on. And even in that, they got to do what God said do. It's not going to be like it was, like it would have been. Because too much time, they lost that visitation. And when we go to be with the Lord, we're going to know things we may not know now. But when you've been made aware of something by the Lord, it's real. And people are afraid to select the best choice. A lot of times, the people of God are just like Israel. Caleb came back, let's go up at once and take the land, we can do it. Him and Joshua. But the other 10 said, no, we can't do it. Then the Lord said, now you're going to walk through wilderness for 40 years. Then they said, let's go take the land. When God was with them, they chickened out. Now God is not with them, they want to go be a hero. And they tried it and went and they got their clock clean. They don't, when God tells you to do something, that's the hot spot. That's when you do it. That's when you pay attention to him and never take your eyes off his guidance, off him. The biggest mistake that the church make is they don't pay attention to the Lord. They try to do things in his name without looking at him. I know that sounds weird, but listen, hear me out. If you are looking at your education, okay, you've been trained in school. And you believe that your predecessors and the school is right. And you teach what they taught. You stick to the doctrine. The doctrine can't guide you where to go, when to go, where the hot spot is. That takes Jesus. And then before he take you, all the things you learn wrong, he's going to expose it so you can correct it. Then that takes guidance and training. He's going to show you in his love. What's right with what's right, what's wrong with what's wrong. He did this in Revelation. All the churches, he told them, first he started off telling them what they had. Then he showed them what they didn't have and what he had a problem with. And then once they corrected, then God would show them what to do. All right, well, it's the same thing now. God will correct your theology. He'll help you with the adjustments you're going to need to pull this off. Because he's not going to build on a weak foundation. And he never did, he never will, he never has. And the things that's wrong, you have to be adjustable. If you're looking at him and if you fill your heart with his word and when the Holy Spirit guides you into all darkness, when the Holy Spirit guides you into all light and into all truth, you're going to be able to drive out the darkness. Don't try to drag the darkness behind. Drive it out of your life. Reject it. Drive it away. And keep receiving the light. Drive out the darkness. As you receive more light, drive out more darkness. And you know to drive out the obvious darkness. But what about the darkness that you've received and don't realize is darkness? Doubts, unbelief, things that people allow. We talked about allowances in previous broadcasts recently, this year. So go back and listen to them, because I spend more time on on allowances and reserves. But now, as we receive the light, receive the correction that we need, and make the adjustments, and God also prepare us for the future. He did me that way. He showed me what was, he gave me knowledge for what I was about to enter into. He would give me a season of learning. He would come to me and teach me and prepare me. That's how I got to this point, following him. Then he would show me where to go. I didn't know where I was going to go until God showed me. He would give me the church, and he'd give me a word at home. I'd write it down in neat as I possibly could, and then I'll deliver it to the pastor, and it'll be addressed to the pastor, and he'll be preaching part of it. Some of the wording was the same as his message. Now, how can that happen unless I was following the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit gave him the message, and the Holy Spirit gave me the word for him to be a witness to him. And he kept his paper. He had this forever, you know. And it was a reference. It was a visitation. Even though I was just an instrument. I was God's inkjet printer. I just wrote what he gave and delivered the message. Because if we follow God, if anybody follow God continually, God will give them the best leading and guidance there is. And everything's well evaluated. See, when God evaluates something, he thinks of everything. And he prepares you for what's ahead. And men can't do that of themselves. Even anointed men can't do that. But when God gives it to them, they know what to do. They have a heading. And then it's up to you not to let people talk you out of it. And the longer you procrastinate, the easier it is for other people to talk you out of it and your own mind to talk you out of it. Now you're in disobedience and it's not going to work. Then you're going to pray, okay, when God was with you, you wouldn't go. You wouldn't listen to him. You had better ideas. Now that God's fired you, I'm going to try it. It's too late. You wouldn't fight the giants when God was with you. How are you going to fight them without him? Ministry is warfare. Never forget that. It takes the anointing and it takes... But you cannot be a warrior in disobedience. You got to be submitted to God or your authority is no good. You have authority in Christ, but it don't work in disobedience. If you're in sin, it's not going to work. But if you won't go, the enemy already won. If you won't go where God's guiding you to, he don't have to destroy that ministry. You destroyed it. If I don't do what God say, then the enemy won't. But as I do, when I proceed in faith, in activated faith, there's nothing the enemy can do but watch. And I'll shut him down and he'll run from me as in terror. Because I'm in obedience. You can't have victory without it. And you have to have the love of God. You have to have sincerity. You have to submit your life to God and mean it. You have to have sincerity. And you have to have obedience. Or you will not win. Even though you know the scriptures. And you can't go by what you see, because the enemy will masquerade defeat for you. And you'll think you got him, but he's right there hindering you another way. He's slick. He's an oily politician. Where do you think our Congress learned this foolishness from? But it's going to play itself out. See, Satan is depicted as an Ouroboros, a serpent that's eating its tail. If you throw a brick at a man and hit him in the head, one day somebody's going to hit you in the head with a brick. Whatever you sow, you reap. Satan is causing all this destruction all throughout the universe. He picked a fight with God. And everything that follow him, every man, every angel, everything that follow him, become like him. An Ouroboros, a serpent that's eating his own tail. The destruction you do against others is coming back to your home. You're going to see it. They set out and do destructive things, and then it comes back. and knock on their door. You know, they're eating their own tail. Satan is an Ouroboros, and everybody that follow him is an Ouroboros. And if he gets you to shut down and not follow God, then you're not an Ouroboros, but you're just not going forward. You're not proceeding. You're deactivated. But I thank God that he can give us something inferior to do. At least you can do something. You didn't do your best. You didn't do what you was born to do and trained to do. But you can do something else. And you can support people that will obey him.